Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Dun, dun, dun. Hell, it's a new year. Dun, dun, dun.
It's Forrest Gump soundtrack.
And 2017 is no longer here. But we've still got Trump. Fuck. We're all gonna die soon anyway, so the elections can't come soon enough. North Korea will probably do their thing.
You're gonna make me hate this song.
But let me finish on the positive stuff. Is in a new movie with Tom Hanks. It looks confusing, but I'll probably see it on a plane. There's a gingerbread house next to Brad. I got it for him, just like a dad would get for his son if his house burned down and said, "You can live here now, just dwarf son." Just kidding, but you can.
Your turn.
Oh, just go.
Oh, I get the chorus?
It's your reflecting on 2017.
Oh, okay. All right. Wait. Okay. I'm trying to get to it.
Yeah, here you go. You got a new one coming.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Time to become a time to get married, a time to go to Germany, a time to wear lederhosen, a time for podcast merch, a time to look sexy, still time to order late Christmas gifts or Hanukkah. Yeah. Look sexy in your ALN podcast merch. I'm going to sell a lot of sweatpants on the road.
Dude, especially when you're going to... By the way, happy 2018.
Yeah.
As if you think a lot of podcasts are not going to welcome you into a new year through improvised song with an instrumental from the Birds.
Yeah. Yeah.
An acoustic version.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I was thinking too, I was quickly going through my Rolodex of tunes, and on my library, just on my iTunes library, the first few, I was like, how am I going to welcome our listeners into the year? And I had Adele, Ride as Rain.
Ooh, that's depressing.
Sirius, the Alan Parsons Project, which is basically the Chicago Bulls intro music.
Oh, yeah. Dun, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. From North Carolina.
Minus that. Piece of Shit Car from Adam Sandler.
I mean, that's a pretty solid
one. And then this one, which I also could have gone with this one. I will remember you.
Kill yourself.
Yeah, well.
Feelings.
2017. You know what? This was the first year in a long time. And look, a lot of people were like, goodbye, 2017. I think that's a normal reaction to a new year, where it's like, out with the old, in with the new.
Absolutely.
It's a start. There is a reset button mentality that a lot of people possess with a new year. And I think it is healthy to embrace. Because
I think it's what the hooker told Forrest Gump as she was making out with him and the other hooker was trying to bang Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
Like, don't you just love New Year's?
Well, this is how loyal Forrest Gump is. He was trying to fuck through AIDS. You know, he was trying to fuck through AIDS. She was like, Forrest, I got AIDS. He's like, I would've never done it. You know, like, he is a team player. And also, that's true love. And Jenny walked away. He wanted to fuck through AIDS.
Yes.
And Jenny said, I'm going to take my chances with these Black Panthers.
Yeah.
Or no, she wasn't fucking with them. She was just in the same tent.
Yeah.
Remember that part where he came to rescue her?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over in Washington, D.C.,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
See, I didn't know my Forrest Gump knowledge would be tested, but I think I watched it like 2 weeks ago.
Dude, Test Me. That is one of my favorite movies. That's
whatever
why I have a
it's
bit,
on.
Yeah. That's why I have a bit about how just it's the only movie that can make me cry. Because of one scene when Forrest finds out that the kid is his.
Yes.
And if you don't have a soul or a human, you don't know what human emotion is. You don't know how to feel feelings if you can't feel them when Gump finds out he has a kid.
Right.
And the scene as goes, you know, Jenny's like, Forrest, he's yours. And he's like, dip, dip, up, dip, fucking what? You know, I'm paraphrasing. But I was so choked up, I forget the dialogue that was being exchanged.
Yeah, it was like.
And then she drops the bombshell. She's like, He's like, what's his name? She's like, Forrest. He's like, but wait, I'm him. He's me. Is that the future? What the fuck's going on? Like, I'm looking into
it. He has like the Forrest Gump Spider-Man meme where the two Spider-Men are just pointing at each other like, that's Gump. No, that's Gump.
Yeah. Yeah. And then and where he won the Oscar is,
oh, right there.
But is he smart or is he?
Is he locked
stupid?
Yeah.
And that's just, I just lost it. Because
plus you throw in Haley Joel Osment.
Yeah, dude. Haley Joel Osment, you're so concerned for Haley Joel. You're like, dude, I want to know, is this kid good at math? Right. Or does he play the drums with hot dog buns, you know? Which bus is he getting on at 6 a.m.? The big one or the small one? That's what I want to know.
And then Jenny drops the line. He's the smartest kid in his class.
Dude, good night. And Jenny. So for me, heading into 2018, I want to cry more in movies. Because that's the only movie that really makes me cry.
Oh, dude. I mean, I may get into this later, but I cried more Christmas Day than maybe I've cried in the last 5 years.
And, well, put a pin in that, because it's a real sad beginning.
I will.
But also, I bet it's a sweet sadness.
It's a happy cry.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
First of all, it kind of
shows that I'm in touch with my feminine side.
Yeah.
Which you would think, like, yeah, dwarves are probably like 50% feminine side anyway. I don't know why that's a stereotype. I just threw it out there.
Probably is. Yeah.
But it was not expected. But it was a good holiday.
Well, just tell it.
Okay.
And then we'll get into. I was going to talk about the need for tons of merch on the East Coast this weekend because you spent New Year's in Buffalo.
Yes,
which is crazy in itself because obviously they got into the playoffs
first time in 17 years.
Yeah. So first of all, tell me why you cried like a little baby bitch and then like a Christmas bitch. You are a Christmas bitch.
This will be the Christmas bitch podcast.
Hashtag Christmas bitch. What is your Christmas bitch?
Gather
moment?
Around, children. I'll tell you the story of when the dwarf cried peppermint tears at Christmas.
Every year, the Christmas bitch shows up late.
Oh, man. So
with no gift, but gets one anyway.
So my family, Christmas is definitely my family's holiday. We do it up. Decorations. Everyone's got the lights. And now that my sister is in a different house, and I'm in a different house, but we still decorate our apartment. Sister decorates her house. So there was this stuffed animal bear. That was my bear when I was growing up, and it was a Christmas bear.
I'm already getting teary.
Came out once a year, only for Christmas time. Santa bear. He's dressed like a pilot, which is weird because it's Santa bear. So you'd think it'd be like, whatever. Yeah. Never mind. So,
what's the significance of this bear? Where was he purchased? Why was he purchased?
He was given to me by my aunt, who has since passed away. But so it reminds me of her. And
is that when it started to become nostalgic for you, or did you like it already?
Well, I already loved the bear. Right. It was like that.
But then
that
she
was
passed away
every year,
and they were like, "This is what I have to remind myself of her."
But I haven't seen this bear. I thought it moves. I thought we gave it away. I haven't seen this bear in 25 years.
What, you thought it moves?
Well, like I thought we gave it away when we moved or something.
There was
a garage sale or something.
Oh, I thought you meant like I thought the bear got
it
life.
It stood up and
walked away and decided this is my last Christmas at the Williams house.
Turns out it was just one of my dwarf friends inside a bear costume the entire time. That's why I loved him.
He's like, 8 years is a long enough commitment to this bear.
Yeah. So this is my bear until I was like eight or 9 years old, and then it was gone for 25 years, and then. For Christmas this year, my sister apparently saved this bear. This bear was going to be given away by my mom, and my sister found out about it, saved the bear, said, no, that's Brad's bear, and she gave me the bear this year for Christmas. And when I opened up this bear, I lost it. I fucking lost it, Adam, in front of my whole family. In front of nieces and nephews. I haven't seen my favorite stuffed animal in 25 years. I thought it was gone, and it reminds me of my aunt. Oh, my God. I fucking cried.
Wait,
buckets.
So.
Oh, God.
What? So when the bear was, did it come out of a box?
Yeah. She had it in a box.
Did they do any sort of, like, build-up surprise, or was it just?
No, it was just, it was like. Just a gift under the tree, and it was a large one. I was like, okay, I don't usually get gifts this large, and it turned out to be my freaking stuffed animal. And then I'm crying, and then I'm getting mad at myself for crying because it's like it's a bear. I didn't cry this much when friends of mine have passed away.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting a bear, but I don't know. Just all these nostalgic feelings came running back to me. And
it's amazing how quick everything can come
back.
Yeah.
And then my whole family just ran out and bought lottery tickets because they're like, we just saw a dwarf cry. That's it.
Hello.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Now, was this happening? It was just the bear subtext.
The bear was singing this. The bear came out. It's like we added something. You squeeze the paw, and then just this song starts playing. I'm like, you assholes!
Oh, but it was. But what if it was your aunt's voice?
Oh my god!
I want to have that type of foresight for like my family.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Create some stuffed animals now with my voices singing like, hey, I'm dead, but I'm still in this bear. In case you care, rub my head. I'll sing you for you for two more days, and then the battery will run out because it's Duracell, you see.
Hey, you know what, though? But you can do that now. You can go to Build-A-Bear, which I've been to Build-A-Bear because they've got some good clothes there, and they fit me. So that's why I go there. Yeah. And no, but you could put your voice on a recording and put it in a bear. So you could do that
yes,
now.
Yeah.
You
it's awesome.
Go, yeah, and you could just have something. Like, you know, there's always that scene. You know, always that scene in a movie where they put in some DVD or a video or something, and the guy just starts off the thing going, if you're watching this video now, it means that I'm dead.
Yeah.
And that's what you could do with the bear. If you squeeze the bear paw,
yeah,
it means I died.
That's
a
really fucked up way to deliver that to your family.
Fruit
though.
By the foot accident.
Yeah. Oh God, that's how I'm going. How did your family respond to you crying?
My family, like,
by the way, that's really sweet and good to know that you can muster that type of emotion still as an adult. I think we need those moments.
Yeah.
I think as you get going, I mean, look, when's the last time you thought about crying that was from your life? That wasn't from something like watching a movie or a YouTube video of a soldier surprising their kid. Like,
home.
You know,
that
dealt with your shit.
Right.
That was like
just
not
pure,
over, it was not self, fulfilling, like over, like you lost out on a job or I don't know if that's cry worthy, but the stress of just this business sometimes can overwhelm to where when there is something that you want or don't want or that something just falls through the cracks.
And just all brought me back to that
simpler
time of being 8 years old again. I was instantly 8 years old again. It was it was crazy. And then I immediately had to stop crying.
Are you a weird cry? Did people start laughing at one point? Like, are you sniffling?
No.
Or
we couldn't react
because
my nephew who's four now just immediately started ripping into something else because it's a 4 year old kid. You can't control him on Christmas.
The moment was short.
Yeah, he got a bike and was like, okay, what's next? Like, it was fucking nuts. Kids are animals on Christmas.
I told my sister after my nieces did Christmas at four, I go, hey, no more presents.
Yeah.
These bitches aren't appreciative. The shit you gave them at four, and they literally, like you just said, a bike. Oh, cool.
What's next?
What's this tiny little box?
Yeah.
Because
you're like, I'm sorry. Fucking bike.
Yeah, dude. Bike trumps everything else you're going to open.
Yes.
You just went to it first because it looked the biggest.
I think every kid that got a bike for Christmas, you remember that Christmas.
Yeah.
You remember seeing that bike and being like, my life has changed.
Also, the other presents don't matter. You should take that bike immediately outside and start riding it.
Yeah. You're like, oh, what are you going to give me now? A Donatello action figure? Can I ride a Donatello action figure?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I could.
Yes, you could.
But yeah, if it was battery powered, but whatever.
You know what sucks too? What sucks too is that that is probably a foreshadowing for when they're like 15 and 16. If they get like a kid gets a, there probably are those super sweet 16 MTV birthday party kids out there that got like a Rolls Royce at 16 and we're like, all right, cool. What else is there? You know what I'm saying?
You're like, nothing.
I hope
car.
I hope that that's not the case. I hope that they freaked out over the car. You saw some of those parties and you're just like, at least I did. You never watched MTV's My Super Sweet 16?
I did. I definitely hate watched it. You know, I don't know why we do this. Sometimes we watch programs just to make ourselves angry.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what that one was.
I'll follow people on Facebook and Instagram just for that reason. I'll read their statuses. I'm like, stop trying to motivate when you yourself are not motivated. You don't get to post inspiring quotes when you don't even follow what you're fucking saying.
Wish it, want it, believe it, achieve it.
Oh my God!
You're a gold digging whore.
Yes, like, that or you are. I can't get into too much.
Yeah, because then the reveal.
Yes, but like, every other passage is like a Facebook anecdote. That's like, and I'm just like, I literally know.
Yeah,
that you don't do any of.
Right. I'll go ahead and say it so you don't have to. It's like open mic comics or comics that think
even
they're
some,
a little beyond that.
And even non-comics.
Yeah.
But yeah, but from our world, I guess, specifically, yeah.
Like
to preach on being super active and doing all these things or I'm doing it my way this year,
right.
Which is like, I'm not going to do any of the work.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
My way is
sitting down. I'm
taking
a different route because
eating the Totino's pizza rolls and success will come my way.
Nah, it is and we open with this, the healthy, clean slate, like people wanting to throw away 2017. But I obviously, I feel like if you look, everyone looks at their year as like, what, professionally, I go health first and foremost. I'm
sure.
Just like, oh, cool. Did I like dodge any big bullets? Yeah. At one point, I remember I had like these insanely terrible headaches, and I went, that drove me so crazy, I went and got a CAT scan and was convinced that something was so wrong that I was already kayaking like trips to like Dubai because
Like,
dude, if I get bad news, I'm literally going to the airport right now.
I'm gonna basically do everything and eat, pray, love.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna live Julia Roberts' best life. I'm gonna do it all.
See, that's one of those viral stories too, if you documented it, that you could like and get enough attention that you could be people would, you know, hashtag Julia meet him in Dubai, you know, and finish out the love part and fuck on some sort of futon in Italy or Dubai,
sure.
Or you know.
Yeah.
but so health first, and then obviously you go, you know, professional, because I think that professional and personal, you know, luckily for us, it's so blended, which is great. But but you know, obviously, I'm sure for you, it's like, you know, look, I got married, I got a house. That's probably at the top. But health too, right? Don't you go there first?
Absolutely.
Because without that, you can't do any of the other shit.
Yeah. Oh, and looking back, because this happened to me over the holiday season, and you commented on it and said it was my best status update ever. But this literally happened where I went to a mall right before Christmas, do some last minute Christmas shopping.
Yeah,
and I saw a dwarf.
Yeah,
who is next to Santa in the elf costume?
Yeah.
And we locked eyes, and you just saw that dwarf see me, and you, and the look on his face is like, oh shit!
Like, and then you say, what did you say? Did you give him a thumbs up, or there's some sort of like, it gets better type?
Yeah,
or?
I just kind of looked at him, and in my head, the Sarah McLachlan ASPCA commercial was playing, just
that's
like,
said,
in the arms of the angel.
Every year.
60
dwarfs were Christmas. Because they couldn't, because they got fired from a table read for some Ricky Gervais show.
Every year, many dwarves are forced to don curly-toed shoes. Make sure this doesn't happen this year. For the price of a small cup of coffee every day, you too can make sure that a dwarf gets regular acting work, not just stereotypical roles. We will keep the dwarves out of the malls in December. We will also keep them out of bars during St. Patrick's Day. We will send you a picture of your dwarf every month so you can see his status updates. You can see him going out for Peter Dinklage body double roles. You can see him on stage with Brad Williams. You can see him watching Jackass movies going, one day that's going to be me. We will send you clothes that the dwarf has worn. So you're knowing that he's growing, not just physically, but spiritually.
Call 1-800-TOO-SHORT-TOO-SOON and donate as much money as possible. Any size coin, but the bigger the better, because some of them can live on those coins. Literally. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and do your part. Also, go to Ross, where there's a 2-for-1 sale on pants.
Did you just get that commercial or something?
Yeah.
Okay, that was fresh on you. But yeah, that was the most.
That was the best update. I repeated that to all of my family members. They all hysterically were laughing. And it is such a. It was also a real. You were making a joke, but that's really what you thought.
Yeah, and it was real. Just like, wow, every now and then I'm maybe not exactly where I want to be in my career, which is fine to have those thoughts because that's what keeps us driven.
Yes,
but hey, I'm doing okay because at least I'm not playing the mall.
Yeah,
playing the mall roles anymore.
And you know what? Anymore, you did do that.
Not mall, but I've done elf stuff.
Yes,
and I've done leprechaun. Like, wow. A dwarf saying I've done elf stuff is like just as shameful as when like a girl has to tell her current like super Mormon husband, like, yeah, I've done butt stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same thing. Same amount of shame and just like, I'm sorry. I was young.
It was the only way.
I was in college. I was experimenting. I've done elf stuff, okay?
Yeah, there is a...
I've had to come out to my dwarf friends as an elf.
Yeah, yeah.
As I've done elf stuff.
But you know what? Even that elf stuff is probably better than, like, at least you got, like, you also got that gig. So yeah. that was working when you weren't working. So that was a step up at
yeah.
that point.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah. And
even
all...
for the guy working now, so that's why I was, you know, reading into that, like, you looking at him and him hopefully looking at you being like, you're not here, so things must be going according to plan.
Yeah.
So it must get better.
Yeah, I was a walking, it gets better commercial.
Yes.
It was, so yeah, hopefully that inspires him to be like, all right, I'm not going to be,
oh my God.
I'm not going to be Santa's bitch forever. One day, we will rise up.
Now, are dwarf resolutions different than non-dwarf resolutions?
Well, yes.
Or do you make a different set of resolutions? Do you make one to better your, to be a better dwarf in the dwarf community?
No,
or
I got one. I got one this year, and I just posted it on social media before I got here. I want someone to walk up to Peter Dinklage this year and go, hey, are you Brad Williams? That's my resolution. I'm coming for you, Dinklage.
Wow. Guess what? You might need to just announce that on every podcast from here on out until it happens.
Oh, I want it to happen so bad. And I like, and then I've already had fans reach out to me going, I see him at my gym. I'll do it for you.
I'm like, my gym.
I'm like, first of all, how are you my fan? And you've never told me that he's at your fucking gym.
Is that in L.A.?
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta go.
I gotta go.
Dude, we...
every day in spandex.
Dressed as him, maybe? Be like, dude, I had this look first. Or just start working out like it's no big deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it just like, no, I'll have him spy on him, find out exactly how much he lifts, and I'll get like... one or two plates more, just so I can be right next to him going, oh, is that all you're putting up?
Dude, that's actually...
Dinklage!
That's actually an amazing Impractical Jokers bit, where you dress up as Dinklage.
Yeah.
What he's wearing that day at the gym, like we somehow, I don't know, man, somehow somebody coordinates with him, maybe the wife,
right?
What he's going to wear. We get that same outfit for you. You go wear it at the gym.
Yeah.
And then the Jokers come in and pretend that you are him, so they're fanning out with you. And everybody at the gym fans out with him. And he's like, after a while, right in front of him, too.
Yeah.
He's just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, come on. I want that to happen so bad.
Wow.
That's
a good one.
I'm gonna use the secret.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put that on my vision board.
Yeah.
Just a big thing of just a big poster of Dinklage. It's gonna happen. How about you?
I wanna proofread my text a little bit more. So that when my sweet, supportive Jewy mother sends me a text when I'm back home for the holidays, hurry home, I have teriyaki chicken for dinner, and I text yay, that I double check before knowing that my phone has changed it to gay. No, Steve Jobs, there's nothing, I don't know what, no eating teriyaki, is it the teriyaki sauce that makes the chicken gay? Is that why you're jumping in here to finish the thought for me?
Well, it is sweet and sour.
And my mom,
that was wrong,
being supportive and not skipping a beat.
Yeah.
I have teriyaki chicken for dinner.
Yeah.
Gay.
Mm-hmm.
2 seconds go by and she goes, I know.
I love
what do
pudding.
You know, Puddin?
I love Puddin.
What do you know about the homosexual connotations of teriyaki chicken?
Well, it was in college.
Yeah.
She was experimenting.
Yeah, yeah. That was her name. That was the girl's name. That was her nickname.
Teriyaki chicken.
Oh, Stacy's so sweet. She's teriyaki chicken sweet.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. All right. Moving on.
All right.
So proofread text and...
proofread text and someone's going to take Dinklage out.
Yeah. That's it.
Now you...
because I feel like at this stage in the game, you should know how motivated you are.
Yeah.
You don't need a day to do it. You know, as a kid, you don't know. You don't know that that's bullshit. When you're like, I'm going to read more this year, you actually think you're going to do it.
Yeah.
And then you learn, oh, wait, no, there's a lot of things in the world that are more fun to do than me achieving my goal as a 10-year-old. You know? And also, I was reading so that I could get a free personal pan pizza from Pizza Hut because they were offering this like Scholastic Book Club thing where it was like, hey, fatty, if you read 5 Bernstein Bear books, we'll give you an extra pepperoni.
And you're like, bitch. Done.
Yeah.
I mean, why did anyone try to motivate me with food earlier? It was all knowledge and better your life.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Give me pizza.
Pizza. Dangle pizza in front of my face. That's what I did when I was a goalie in soccer.
Wait, what?
I'm joking.
Oh, okay. that turned into a...
A kid on my team did say that once to me because I was... Yeah. When I was... I mean, it was a great goalie because, again, I was quick fat.
Yeah.
So I'm big. I'm stopping the ball because I got more girth. And then also quick to the post. Mm-hmm. But one of the kids on my team, when I was having a rough practice, and he was like, imagine the balls are pizzas.
dude.
Kid, so cruel.
If it was a
so
pizza,
funny.
You'd stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would.
I probably would.
Yeah, I would, coach.
And then speaking of New Year's, because we're talking about
this is the first day of 2018, by the way.
It is.
Does it feel any different? It's like a birthday when you hit like 30 and you're no longer in your 20s.
Yeah.
There is a moment, right, where you acknowledge, like for me, it was I didn't do jack shit today other than a little bit of work before we started this.
Yeah.
But literally, the last few weeks of traveling to Arizona, then to Seattle, then back to Arizona for shows. Then last night, went to the Chappelle John Mayer show at the Forum.
I want to hear about that.
Bonkers.
Yeah.
They are so good together. Look, it's not as scripted as, or they have their moments where they're definitely just sitting there at one point and it's like, almost like Byron Allen Comics Unleashed where, hey, John, you've been playing a lot of music on the road or something. And then he goes into it. But they joke, they acknowledge that it's like a, I have, Dave. And then vice versa. And then John will ask Dave something, and then he stood up and walked down the long strip that was attached to the stage, you know?
Yeah.
And which, by the way, Forum was great for stand-up. It was
really
amazing. Yeah, it was great.
That's a huge venue. Like,
Jeff Ross was doing speed roasting before, which was really difficult, but he crushed it.
Dude, this is the same venue where I've seen you two and the Foo Fighters. So the Forum is a large venue.
Dude, this is where, the Laker Championships. I mean, every concert. I mean, it's probably one of the most iconic venues
absolutely
ever. And
Form.
And so, you know, then he would get up after John prompted him with a question, and then he would get up and tell the story or go into more stand-up, which was great because day after he did 30 stand-up, you wanted more stand-up. It was so good.
Yeah.
And John playing was good and a few things, but then they do some things where Dave would even like ask a question. They were talking about the climate of with women and everything now, and Dave said something about he doesn't even I'm going to butcher it. Something about sucking a girl's titty and asking her how it tastes, or maybe it was like I don't know what he said, but he did that. And then John Mayer, he goes, that wasn't an alternate verse for my your body is a wonderland. And then he started playing it and said, he goes, something about the way your titty tastes, you know. And they went into that, and it was great. And so they had some good bands like that.
And John's a real funny guy. You and I have both seen him actually go up before this and do stand up at the clubs around
he's
town.
He's got good timing, and he's good in doses. There were when he was getting a little longer with his whatever, it was getting a little heady. But then even at one point, Dave goes, and he was asking about love, and John, he's like, you want to have kids, man? He's like, yeah, I'm ready to be a dad. He's like, yeah, I just got to find the person first. He's like, but I'm ready, man. I've been through it all. And Dave goes, ah, man. John, I'd like to smell your finger. He goes, I'd like to smell your index finger. He goes, I've heard the stories. We all know who you've been with. And God damn it, there's a lot of pussy on there.
That's great.
It was, and then he goes, and then people were laughing. And then he goes, fuck it, it's New Year's. He goes, I locked the phones up. You can't take this shit.
Yeah.
And then they had Prince's.
Now, did they lock the phones up?
Yes.
Okay, so you can't take video of it.
Yes. No.
Which, you know what? Good.
Yeah.
Experience that moment.
Yeah.
Be in that moment. See these two performers on stage. That it's not a tour.
Nope.
It's not going to happen again.
And it's great to not have it. It makes you just
experience it.
More present with everything. And then a guitarist for Prince, who was on tour with them for 20 years, came out and did the harmonica and played it to Purple Rain, which was unfucking real.
Wow.
I hope someone got it on tape. I'm sure someone got a phone in.
Yeah.
And then they started playing Superstition. And then pointed into the crowd, and everyone's like, what? And then he goes down, and then they shine a thing on, and it's Stevie, and he's sitting in the crowd.
Wow.
And he leaned over and said, like, put it in the key of E or something. And then they came back to him, and he started fucking singing it. And then he was, you know, I don't know how the words go, but.
Very superstitious.
But he was singing
writings on the wall.
Totally, but he was singing the. Oh,
okay.
Is that it? No.
I got it.
Is that it? Yeah. But
he was singing. We have a black man in the room, so we're like staring at him like, how does that Stevie Wonder song go?
But then he starts singing, and then he goes, Dame Chappelle at the Forum. And it's like, we're doing that, and everybody goes nuts. And so that was cool. And then show was great. Did the countdown there. Balloons fell. And I'm looking up at the balloons, and you know, I was there with Julia White and Adam Devine, and Julia and I are looking up at the balloons, there's a bunch of them like locked and loaded. And Julia's like, dude, how bad do you think that guy's sweating right now? I go, he's got one job, dude. Release the balloons. And if you fuck that up, you're fired from not only balloon drops, but every job. Because if you can't do that, you're done, dude. You gotta move. You gotta start over. Get a new job, a new life, a new girl.
So this was going on.
Yeah.
John Mayer was playing the guitar.
Yes. And the guy's playing the harmonica.
Yeah.
And by the way, the best harmonica playing I've seen in my entire life.
Wow.
And then he just puts the mic in there, and then Dave's going. I mean, it was dope, dude. And then after the show, by the way, we're in the Forum Club and chat with Marlon Wayans for a little bit because him and Jaleel, good friends, he came up and yeah. I was like, hey, and he goes, Adam, right? We did the fucking heat together. I was like, hell yeah, man. I go, why haven't you responded to my Facebook messages? And, you know, making a joke, started laughing. And then he started remembering lines that I improvised on certain days that didn't make the cut and started like reciting them to me. And I was like, oh, shit,
that's
man.
A workhorse.
And then he shot the shit about some basketball stuff and whatever. And then we go to the after party. And let me just name some people that were there that I bumped into.
Okay.
Drake.
Yeah.
Well, Drake's dad.
I mean,
who I've roasted at the Laugh Factory before.
Just about as big as Drake.
I didn't know who he
honest.
Was. I called him a Persian Mario brother one night. And I think I sang the Mario theme song as an old Persian man, but like inserting lyrics of like, you know, buy my rug. Dun, dun, dun. And so he was there. Blake Griffin was there. Strahan.
Well, you knew.
Some other singers.
You
DeAndre.
Yeah. You knew,
but it was dope, man.
That at the Forum was going to be nuts.
Yeah, and I'm sure there are people there that I don't even even run into. I mean,
TMZ talked about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw an article that there was a after party somewhere that like...
Delilah? That's where we were.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, and that's where like a bunch of shit went down, so...
Yeah, and I mean, I, you know, we left at like 2, and I'm sure it went on till probably closing, you know, 4 or like 4 or 5. Which is so great, man. Like, I want to get to that point to where I can, like, go into a Lucky Strike for dinner and a couple rounds of bowling.
Yep.
I'll be so famous that they're like,
you
want to stay all
open?
Night?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, I would love to bowl until 7 a.m. My flight's at 9:30, you know?
So let's do it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And that's such a once, like, that's not, they're not a band. They're not a group. That's a once in a, you're only going to get that time.
Yep. And it was really cool, too, because it was like, oh, two of the best and arguably the best in one profession. But, dude, John Mayer at one point sat there. And Jaleel was like, always trying to do his Clapton thing right now because he was wearing his glasses and just like the first few songs, he had one of those machines where almost like Reggie Watts has where he'll start a beat and then he'll sing a lick and he would start looping and then you're adding other instruments on top of him playing. But also, dude, his just straight licks that he's playing were unreal, dude. He's so fucking good at the guitar.
He's really good at it.
It's bonkers. So, and you're looking at him and you're like, oh, you are on this Clapton path, you know?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Clapton Path is a one-act play I'm putting on next week at the Hudson Theater. So it was cool because it was like, we still got to booze, we still got to do the countdown, but it was something different than just a house party that I've done so often, which those are fun too, man.
Mm-hmm. The thing about going, like, it sounds like, because New Year's so many times falls short of expectations. You go out, it's like, this is the last night of the year. We've got to have the most epic night of the year on the night of the year.
I put so much pressure on it in high school for it to be like this game-changing moment.
That's why I love doing gigs on New Year's, so it's like, great, I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I don't have to search for a party. I don't have to find a party at the last minute, throw a party at the last minute. I'm going to be on stage.
Have you ever not kissed somebody at New Year's or at midnight? Like when you were single and you were on the road, would you just...
Oh, I'd find someone in the audience.
In the audience, yeah.
It,
make it a bit, bring them up before, and I'll go into the audience.
Oh, I'd go into the audience, I'd bring them up on stage, and don't think that I was, like, making out with Maxim models. That wasn't, because...
No, this is Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah, and when I'm on stage, no, like...
With the woman who runs the Coinstar.
Yeah, no one's going to a New Year's stand-up show. Like, no Perfect 10 model is going to be walking in like, well, I just decided to go out by myself. Like, no, that's never happened, ever. So, So now I'm happy I got that covered.
Yeah.
I invite the wife on stage, and she's great. And, and I just like being on stage and doing the countdown because it's a fun, it's a fun show.
It is the best. I've done it where I've had no one to kiss. I did the Parlor with Christina Pazitsky and Tom Segura.
That's right.
And Big J Hollingsworth had a girl with him.
Yeah.
And Christina and Tom are married, and I had nobody and did not try to facilitate a kiss. I forgot.
Yep.
And also, I didn't think it was going to be an issue because I'm like, I will stand in the back and watch everybody and cry and or masturbate.
Right.
And so, maybe both. And so I'm in the back, and then Ruben, the owner, goes, hey, you're going on stage with everybody. I go, nope, no, I'm not.
No,
he goes,
not.
No. I go, Ruben, I got nobody to kiss. He goes, you can kiss your hand. I go, I probably will. And that's super sad. And I go, I want to avoid these vulnerable 9 seconds, okay? Not having someone to kiss.
Yeah.
That but fucking wait, 10 second
in front
countdown,
of everybody.
Oh, I don't want to publicly display my loneliness, dude.
Yeah. Because that's what the two comics that opened for me, one was single, and then the other one, he's engaged, but his fiance was at a party and was hooking up with another woman. That's a whole other story.
Wow.
But like he was just like, hey, I'm on stage by myself, send pictures. but like so what happened was the two comics just were like, fuck it, and then they like joke kissed at midnight. And it was hilarious.
That's amazing.
It was.
And they were two dudes.
Yeah. Yeah. Two dudes with beards. Yeah. Surprised the beards didn't get tangled up.
Well, you know what? If I had even had that as an option, I would have done that. Because
sure.
What I did was it starts to count down from 10 to 1, which,
yeah.
By the way, is the slowest countdown of your life.
Yep.
Because you're just panicking. All these thoughts are going through your head of how to handle the situation. How to not look so fucking alone in front of everybody.
Right.
So part of me is like, all right, I could cheer people on when they're kissing, like some fucking weird pervert, like look down, get right down in front of somebody in the first row and be like,
Thomas,
yeah, more tongue, you know, yeah. Less hand, more dick, you know, or I could do the robot and just kind of dance to myself and be like, or I could fist pump and be like, I got no time to kiss because I got to use my hands to get this energy up a notch, you know? So what I end up doing, I'm thinking of all these options. 3, 2, 1, and I just do a combination of all three where I looked at a fucking couple right before they kissed, gave them a thumbs up, did a weird robot fist pump combo, and then walked off stage and go, that was the most depressing 15 seconds of my entire life. And I'll never forget it. And Ruben, you fucking bastard for making me do that.
The sad part is if I know the parlor in Bellevue, that's probably on tape.
Yeah.
That is probably on tape somewhere. It's in the archives of you just awkward roboting, fist pumping, crying.
It's so sad. And then at one point, you do a robot, and then you're just like, do I get off now? And then you don't. So then there's an extra beat of then you start clapping. Because some people are just making out. Some people just do a peck.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their own kiss duration, you know?
Yeah. And even when I was on stage this time in Buffalo, like, it's like once midnight happens, it's like, okay, I'm not going to, like, I've already done an hour on stage. I'm not going to now do like, all right, sit back down. Let's do another 20. Like, no, it's done. It's done. Go home.
By the way, you were not only in Buffalo, which was like record temperature lows.
Yeah, it was
8 degrees.
8 degrees was the high. That so, and now I'm an OC boy, born and raised. So I was not like I thought I was prepared. You're not prepared for that kind of cold, and like, because you literally walk outside and you know every inch of your body that is not covered up. Like your eyes hurt. At one point,
for real.
At one point, when I took the wife to Niagara Falls,
yes.
Which was amazing with all the ice and stuff, it was unbelievable.
Somebody brought your bear out, your Santa bear, while you're looking at the Niagara Falls. What? I mean, do you even come back from that?
No.
Yeah. Do you ever stop crying?
I just Japanese Hayakari at that exact moment. I probably got that term wrong.
Yeah.
It means the suicide thing. But anyway, that was so cold where my eyelashes started freezing together.
Oh, see, that's
and, like,
terrifying.
Tears and stuff, like, because you know when you're really, really cold, like your eyes will start to water.
Oh yeah,
like the water would freeze in your eye. It was ridiculous. It was insane. Like, that's just a ridiculous amount of cold.
What was the Niagara Falls where people, I mean, how long do you stay there for? You look at it, like, is it like a 10-minute thing?
It's kind of like, wow. I mean, because have you ever seen Mount Rushmore? It's kind of like that. Where,
no.
Where's
that?
Like, that's either in North Dakota or South Dakota. I forget, and I'm sorry. But
good for the Dakotas, by the way.
Yeah, they got the thing.
They've got a famous child actress named after one of them, and they've got
Fanning nature.
Yeah, and they've got one of the seven wonders of the world.
Yes, and it's great. But you go there, and you're excited to go there, and you have to go there. But then you go there, and you're like, all right, there it is. Cool.
Wow.
What do I do now?
Yep.
And yeah, because I've been to Niagara Falls before in the summer where they have the Maid of the Mist, which is the boat that goes like around the falls, like literally like almost under the falls, and that's amazing because you're right under it. But yeah, now it's so cold that they don't do that. All the boats are locked up, so you literally just kind of stare at it for a while you're freezing your nuts off. You try to take that perfect selfie, and then you're like, okay. I'm good. I'm going back in.
Has anybody ever fallen over the edge of those stories?
Yeah.
Those places seem conducive that there's always someone around being like, you know, a couple of years ago, somebody fell over the edge.
Oh, no. This has happened already this year. But on purpose. Someone has...
jumped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that,
you know, if you're going to do it...
What have you?
Yeah.
it's,
yeah.
It's, and then there's then there's two legends of people going over the falls in a barrel because they said, like, I'm going to go over the falls in a barrel and live. One did, one didn't. So,
wow.
Yeah, just like a daredevil.
That sucks. That sucks for the security because now they go, fuck, one guy made it. That's all that some of these other crazies need to hear.
And by the way, if I'm working security at Niagara Falls and and someone jumps into Niagara Falls, I'm sorry. I'm like, all right, I'm out.
Oh, I'm not.
See ya.
I'm quitting?
Yeah, or yeah, I'm not jumping in after
you.
Oh,
no, I don't think
fucking
that's
freezing.
In the contract.
There's a current. It's going over the falls.
Yeah.
I don't know who you are.
By the way.
You'd be a serial killer for all I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I love the idea of somebody like hearing those odds and still, you know, thinking it's a good idea. Like,
yeah,
I think about killing myself jumping in Niagara Falls. Dude, you know somebody died doing it. And somebody didn't.
Yeah,
but somebody died.
Yeah, somebody died.
But then somebody didn't.
Somebody didn't.
But you could die. But then I couldn't.
I barely play roulette for 20 bucks, and that's like a 48% chance I'll win.
If you are gonna jump though, jump into a body of water because that's a belly flop that ends with you not having to feel how bad it was. You know?
But if you jump
into the freeway, there's a chance you fucking hit the ground, bounce,
yeah,
and when you come up, a car is right there to meet you to take you on up the stairs to the pearly gates.
Yeah. So this has been Adam's Suicide Tips.
No. Do not do it.
No.
Life is too great.
Yeah, and there's plenty of places.
There's plenty of examples. Like New Year's. If I can survive an onstage no New Year's kiss... Then
in front of literally all, like,
I'm telling you, man,
like
it
your
was
worst nightmare.
It was pretty fucking embarrassing, and
you might as well just be in your underwear.
I feel like I can be embarrassed and and own it.
Yeah,
but that was fucking really tough.
Well, the thing about being in Buffalo for New Year's is not only am I doing a show, but the Bills make the fucking playoffs for the first time in 17 years, longest playoff drought ever.
Yeah, putting the Seattle Mariners at the top of the list for longest pro sports team that has not made the playoffs.
Really? Yes. Did they put up that graphic?
Yes.
Oh, that's got to suck.
It's everybody tagged me in it, and for those of you who tagged me in it, that is karma for your 2018.
Oh, that's funny.
But that is incredible, and I can't.
Yeah.
I watched the video, by the way, of the team
watching the play.
Because what happened for them to get in?
Yeah. So here's what had to happen. The Bills, who, by the way, that city, they all love their teams, but the Bills, Buffalo fucking loves the Bills because they have them and they have the Buffalo Sabres, and that's it in a minor league baseball
team. Yeah.
So they love them. So they haven't made the playoffs 17 years, and they have to win. And the Ravens have to lose to the Bengals. The Bills win in a great game, kind of down the wire,
comfortably won.
Yeah, but then you see the players all run.
The Bengals aren't good, right? The Ravens should win that game.
Ravens are winning. They're in. Bengals are out. They got nothing to play for. So they're just like, they're just playing for pride.
The Ravens are playing to win and get in.
Yeah. So if the Ravens win, they're in the playoffs. If the Ravens lose and the Bills win, Bills from the playoffs. So that's how that needed to happen.
And this game is in Baltimore?
In Baltimore, yeah.
Oh, so everyone's like, all right, Bills got close. I mean, everyone's probably counting them out, yeah?
Yeah. Everyone's like, all right.
How were the people of Buffalo over the weekend talking about it? Still pumped for it?
All. You saw red, white, and blue, which is their colors, like all over the place. All over the place. And so you see the Bills players all rush into the locker room right after the win because they want to see what happens.
Yeah.
And they immediately switched to the other game on the feed, which they have going in the club.
Yeah.
Sold out show, packed, and they're watching the game. They're holding the start of the show until the game.
Your first show.
Yeah. And I'm just like, oh,
because
God.
It was a night game, yeah?
Yeah. And I'm just thinking to myself, holy shit, if the Bills lose.
Or no, if the Ravens lose.
Well, like.
Or the Ravens win.
Yeah, if the Ravens win, this is going to be the shittiest way to start a show ever.
Like, it really is, dude. I mean, look, they'll. I mean, it really is, dude.
Yeah. So I'm just.
Some people would probably leave.
I'm rooting hard for the Bills at that point, just because I want a damn good show.
So what happened towards the end of the game?
And then it's the Bengals are on 4th and 15. 4th and 15 from the 50-yard line. They have to, and they're driving to win to tie the game up with a field goal. 4th and 15. Andy Dalton and the Bengals. They have nothing to play for. probably not going to happen. You can hear in the audience the murmurs of like after every first down, second down, third down, they're all groaning and just, oh.
So they're down by how much?
Oh, they're down by three. So they need to get there for a field goal to tie to send it in overtime. So then, fourth and 15, guy goes over the middle. Andy Dalton slings it to him. He catches it. First down. The place erupts. That's enough, right? Then the guy spins, breaks a tackle.
But that's enough to do what?
That's enough to like get in the field goal range or at least keep the game going.
And the score's what at this point?
I think it's like 30-27 or something.
Okay.
So they need 3 points. And the guy spins, gets out of it, bolts, touchdown.
With how much time left?
Like 12 seconds. And just the place goes ape shit.
Oh my
they go
God, dude.
Nuts. And the comics that are opening for me are both from Buffalo. They're LA guys, but they're back home for the holidays. So they're going crazy. So when they go on stage, they've got all this energy. And they're just like, we did it. We're at the playoffs. And wow. it's the craziest fucking show.
Was
ever.
It something like this? This is the locker room of the Buffalo Bills as they're watching it happen.
Yeah.
Dude, I've never seen so many grown men hug and jump in the air like kids.
Right.
There's this one lineman who has his two kids in there, and he just starts bawling.
Oh.
And his kids start bawling.
By the way, that's one more game check for those guys. Like, they get paid more on the playoffs. It's insane.
They keep videotaping this one lineman. He must have been in the league for a while. That must,
yeah.
Right? He must.
Oh, my
that's
God.
One of those, like, 10, 12-year guys. Which is the other thing, too, man, that you don't realize, like, that's where sports are so great, too, because of all this, like, bullshit going on. Like, you can, like, things like that. I don't know. I mean.
It just makes you remember why sports are amazing. Because, yeah, and you think, like, oh, these guys are all multimillionaires. They don't care. They're just playing for the money. Watch that video and tell me guys don't care.
Yeah. And for the city, dude, there's probably, I mean, it's, again, why the Houston Astros winning was so big. That just, like, people rally around something like that. And now for the next, at least, week. Like, you know, they can
it's great.
They can float on air. And then you know, if they lose, then fucking, you know, back to your shitty life. But for a week, you are fired up. No, that's incredible. And that's dude, I love Cinderella stories in sports. I also love Steven Hauschka, their kicker, and I wish he was still a Seahawk.
Yeah, Blair Walsh.
I just don't know how
so good.
Guess what, dude? I've never been a fan of him because I don't understand how.
Even though he kicked you guys into the playoffs,
he miskicked us into the playoffs
for the other team one time.
When we were in Minnesota and it was -4 degrees and he missed a chip shot that sent us to the NFC Championship game.
Yep.
That was one of the fucking coolest moments in sports I've been a part of.
Yeah.
I ran around a bar in St. Louis. I bought shots for the whole bar. There's only 12 people in the bar, but it's still 12 tequila shots. And it was just so incredible. And then when I hear we got him the next year, I go, what? That is like you work at a strip club, right?
Yeah.
And you're the owner of the strip club.
Yeah.
And you match with some girl on Tinder, and she gives you gonorrhea, herpes, gingivitis, athlete's foot, all the AIDS.
All the AIDS.
Two different types of the C word.
Not just the main AIDS.
Nope.
Like Magic Johnson and the bad kind.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the one that the guy had in Party of Five.
Spoiler alert.
So you get all that from her.
Yeah.
And then you hire her at your strip club.
Yeah.
To be a dancer.
Right.
On the main stage.
Your feature dancer.
Yeah. She goes up in the first 10 minutes, which as we all know at a strip club is, that's like the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In a strip club, the fourth quarter is the first quarter. We'll be right back. Psych. P.S. I haven't been to a strip club in so long. And the last time I went,
you're not missing much.
The last time I went was, I think it was for a bachelor party, and it was off a cruise ship. And
off a cruise ship?
Well, we docked in Mexico.
Oh, okay.
And then there was some weird Mexican strip club where there was like a donkey show somewhere, but I didn't get to see it.
Okay.
But what I did see, is a dude who we'd, you know, on this cruise ship, you meet other parties and stuff.
Yeah.
There's another bachelor party. And the groom of one of these bachelor parties that I just briefly met at a bar where it was like, in passing, what are you guys doing? Oh, this guy's getting married. Oh, yeah. And yeah, he was just, he just seemed like a shit show. And he seemed like, I get something about him. I was like, oh, this guy's like, this guy's going to make some mistakes on this trip. Mm-hmm. And then we get into the strip club and they're all there. And this dude is on stage literally holding two dildos and doing like,
doing
as if
bad.
He's directing air traffic control, but putting them inside of women. And then
he's
lays
got
down
two stripper pops.
Yes. And then he, from the makers of Flintstones push-ups come stripper dildos.
Stripper pops.
And then he lays down and both of them start going to town on him. And I was like, whoa. And I remember walk by and then, and all his buddies were laughing and cheering. And we walked by and I said to one of his guys, I go, that's your boy. He goes, yeah, he's getting married. I go, no, he's not.
No, he's not.
Here's the thing about that.
Yeah.
He's not.
No, he's not.
Because this will come out or get back to her from somebody.
Because someone's on that boat that knows her.
Yeah.
Someone's in that party that knows her.
Or he says it or blurts photo it out. Gets, exactly. I don't know, man. It just.
Now, when that happened, did the groom that you were there with, did he look like, wait, I'm allowed to do that shit?
No, yeah, hilarious. He was not, and he's not a square by any means, but he was like, oh, man. It added a level of filth to the place that made us be like, it's almost like if you walk into a Panera and you're like, cool, this place looks super clean. Hey, why are there pubes in my broccoli cheddar soup?
Speaking from personal experience, no, we love Panera Bread. Brand new sponsor of the podcast, dude. Panera Bread. Go to PaneraBread.com.
By the way,
ALN.
Panera, if you call and if you donate and if you sponsor,
oh my God,
I will tell people you don't have pubes in your soup.
That was like the Adam Ray politician speech.
Oh yeah,
that was pretty solid.
Well, dude, it's pretty much what Trump does.
Yeah.
He's got to stop saying things that sound like things that I said in the fourth grade when I ran for treasurer.
Cookies all day, 3-hour recess. We're going to make the Mexicans build the kickball wall.
Now, we talked a little about football. You met a Hall of Famer.
Oh, man.
Over the weekend.
Fucking Warner.
Kurt Warner.
And you know what? That's the other thing, cool thing about our job is that, like, when you – there's just – athletes are still people.
Yeah.
They love comedy. And sometimes you meet them and they see you go up and you go, I didn't realize I was that big of a fan of you. But I did because I loved this. Dude, he was one of my favorite players when he played.
Yep.
Just because his story, I knew it.
Yeah,
everybody did.
He was the guy that, in fact, side Kurt Warner story for me. One time when they won the Super Bowl, I played, no, it was the, when he was with the Cardinals against the Steelers, I played the Kurt Warner drinking game. And the Kurt Warner drinking game is that whenever they mention that he used to bag groceries, you take a shot. Whenever they show his wife in the stands, you take a shot. And whenever Kurt Warner talks about Jesus, you take a shot. And by the end of that game, I was obliterated.
Oh, my God.
I was obliterated drunk. So, yeah, shout out to Kurt Warner for getting me hammered that night.
Yeah. He, dude, he's down there. Next time you go down there, I got to tell. So he's friends with Joel McHale.
Nice.
And so Joel was doing the early shows and I was doing the late shows. Mm-hmm. And they were super great. And, and he was cool. And his wife is just a fucking cool as shit. And,
yeah.
And, it was
Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Now, is it did you talk to him at all? Because you know he's a big time Christian. So did you not like curse as much or?
No, I didn't even know he was out there until afterward. It was like, you know, I wish I would have known that when Paul McCartney was in the audience at the Improv. Because although, you know, I think we're pros at this point enough to where it's not going to phase you. It's just going to make you probably take things up a notch. But you and I both, I think we don't dictate how hard we bring it based on who's there.
Yeah,
try to be consistent.
Anytime.
You know,
yeah.
But it was cool to know after because I was like, oh, cool, that was a fun set. I just remember that with the crowd work that I did in a 15-minute set and the material, it was just a good flow. So I was like, oh, cool. Mm-hmm. He saw like me at my best, I think. You know?
And then I know Joel McHale is also from Seattle.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, becoming homies, it's really cool.
Yeah.
He's the shit. And,
so, what, you talked to Kurt about because you guys are Seahawks, he was – AZ Cardinals.
Well, Joel actually, it's so funny. He came out on stage and goes, "Hello, Seahawks fans!" And they all start booing immediately. And
wow, way to dig yourself a hole right in the beginning.
It's pretty awesome, dude.
It's good fun.
It also lines up with his, you know, just kind of sly, like, you know, kind of smarmy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It fits his character.
Yeah.
It's
great, by the way. Stand-up was really great, and his stories were good. His stories about his son are so funny, dude.
Oh, he's a dad. I didn't know that.
Yeah. His 12-year-old, when he walked out to go do his shows in Arizona, said turned around and said, "You are a you suck and you're a fuck," when he left the house.
Why did that make me laugh so much? I have no idea. It was great.
And then I guess he told some story. This is one of his bits, but just the details of the story about how some famous person, a showrunner, was at his house, and there was a Super Bowl party, and the guy made a joke. Oh no, the kid made a joke, and the showrunner said, "Oh, like the kid's got jokes or something." Mm-hmm. And his son turned around and said, "I guarantee my room's bigger than yours."
Wow.
And I was like, "Your kid sounds like this shit." He's
fucking
like,
he fucking Veruca salted him.
And that's so dope. That's so funny. I hope my kid has that much of a lip on him, you know?
He probably will. And that's like a really cool thing about this business is that we get to experience this. And stuff like that gets to happen. When after the game, after all the games yesterday, I texted Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah.
And just said, "Dude,
why didn't you play better?"
No, because
hey, you guys fucked it up for.
Oh, they fucked it up for you guys.
Well, right? Here's what would have been devastating.
Oh,
is that if they had won and we'd lost in the fashion we lost in?
Right.
Because you know, because the Panthers played awful.
Yeah,
it's like they didn't try, dude. Cam Newton literally was throwing like he did not give any.
Yeah, because I think they were only playing for like either the third or the fourth
they're playing.
Seed?
They're playing to clinch a the division.
The division. That's right. That's right.
But dude, it was and look, the Falcons were at home, but it wasn't. They didn't dominate.
Yeah,
they didn't play well, and we had this amazing comeback. And then once it looked like we weren't going to win, it was like just finish the season strong.
Yeah,
and then Blair Walsh again, and Walsh. You know,
and then Blair Walsh. Yeah, but the fact that like I texted him just said, "Hey, tough loss, but you're in the playoffs in your rookie season. That's awesome."
Yeah,
and then he got back to me and just said, "Thanks, man." And then like
he's a rookie.
Yeah, he's a rookie.
Wow.
So it's he gets to go and. You kind of want to tell him, like, hey, you probably won't do this every year.
Yeah.
So enjoy this shit.
Yeah.
Enjoy being in the playoffs and enjoy everything that comes with. It's kind of like the guys that make it to the Super Bowl the very first season. You're like, oh, so this happens every year?
Yeah.
No, it does not. You might get traded to Cleveland Browns. Shout out to the Cleveland Browns. 0-16.
Oh, God.
Well done.
Who do you think they'll draft? Do you think they'll just draft – and then trade for like the top four picks and just get all quarterbacks and just pray that one of them
see
works.
See which one. Like someone tweeted out that the last quarterback to win a game for the Cleveland Browns was Johnny Manziel.
No.
And the fact that that's a true statement, they have one win in the last 2 years. That's, oh. I mean, I know you got your championship in basketball, Cleveland, and I love you, but that hurts. That's got to suck.
Yeah, that's one of those things too where you go, I'm surprised they even have fans that go to games.
Yeah.
0-16. If you know something's going to be so bad, why would you go?
Yeah.
When Jack in the Box had E. coli, why would you go?
I stopped going.
And for me, that was the quickest thing. That's why, you know, it's like when the guy started eating people's face on bath salts in Florida. I go, oh, cool. Not going to Florida again because there's lots of other destinations where people aren't eating each other.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And with the E. coli thing, too, it was like, I remember who was I talking to that I was like, dude, I ain't going to Jack in the Box anymore. And he goes, dude, you can still go. Just get the fries.
You're like, no.
Dude, no.
Because I got E. coli in the burgers.
Yes.
By the way, this is back when we were like in fifth grade or sixth grade.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, they're good now and they've got great commercials. And
well, dude, yeah, they had to reinvent themselves.
Yeah. And if they wanted to sponsor this podcast, I'll take two sourdough jacks, please. So yeah, they're great now. But yeah, they had to work to get people to trust them again, and that's what I think the Cleveland Browns have got to do. They got to work to get people to trust them again.
Not happening. They're doomed. They're just one of those
right
cities that almost loves to be bad.
Yeah,
you know, it's like they love being the victim.
Yeah, it sucked. Like I'm glad they got their one title, but doesn't look too good for the rest of them.
Was there something specific food wise you ate in Buffalo or
wings?
Oh, gotcha.
That's where they invented Buffalo wings.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Not Buffalo Wild Wings. Just Buffalo wings in general.
Oh. So it's not like the first Starbucks in Seattle. People don't go to the first Buffalo Wild Wings in Buffalo.
No, it's like, no, this is the button from the commercials that actually puts out the sprinklers in every stadium in the United States. What? That's real?
That's a brilliant commercial.
That's real. No, but there are
they that good?
Yeah, they were really good.
I'm not even a big wing guy, but I feel like I'd do that if I was out there.
Yeah.
It's like you're in Ireland, you got to get a Guinness.
That's, yeah.
If you're in
that's
Utah,
thing.
You got to do butt stuff. You know,
yeah.
You
just got to do butt stuff.
Try the meth, you know.
But yeah, it was a lot. It was a lot of fun. Loved going to Buffalo. Definitely will be back.
Are you on the road a lot now for the next?
Yeah. When this podcast comes out, which Thursday or Monday?
Thursday.
Thursday. Okay. Yes. This podcast will come out while I'm in Denver. So don't worry, Broncos fans. I'm coming to console you. And then let's see. What do I have after that? And then I go to Florida. For Naples, please don't eat my face.
Yeah.
got Captain Brian's in Florida. And then I go to the Pittsburgh Improv, which
oh, nice.
Is the weekend of the AFC Championship game. So, Pittsburgh, do your fucking job, okay?
Oh, man.
I want to go to that game.
So that you can do yours.
Yeah. Come on, Le'Veon Bell. Come on. Do it.
Oh, man, the Patriots. I hate that they're just good.
Yeah.
And you know what? Tom Brady will probably play another 5 years. So everyone's like, they should have kept Garoppolo. But they couldn't.
Yeah.
Because you have to get rid of Brady.
Tom Brady keeps eating the avocado ice cream. And now
is that what he's eating?
Yeah. That's what he said he has for dessert.
Avocado ice cream.
Avocado ice cream.
I bet it's good.
I'm from Orange County. We put avocado on everything. And I'm still just like, maybe not. I'd try it, but
dude,
it doesn't sound good to me.
I would eat ketchup soup. You know?
I mean, ketchup soup sounds delicious.
Well, it's because it's a thing. Tomato soup.
Oh.
You walked right into that. Welcome back to Dum Dum. Welcome back to You're a Dum Dum.
I did, didn't I?
No, you know what? I didn't even realize it was until I said it.
Oh, really?
I said ketchup soup, and then in my head, you know, sometimes you have a second voice in your head.
Right.
Like, you say something, I guess your conscience. But,
yeah.
But it was like, I go, ketchup soup, and then I heard deep in the back of my brain, that's tomato soup. And I go, oh, shit.
You got heckled by your own brain? That's some weird shit, man.
Hey, man.
But we want to wish Happy New Year to all of our listeners and hope that your new year is better than your old year. So do all the things.
Dude, you sounded like you were about to give
yeah.
a start to 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking here we go.
All right.
Speech. So
this. It's coming down to this, podcast listeners. 2017 is in your rearview mirror. All the Trump shit, all the celebrity deaths, all the hashtag Me Toos, all the Louis C.K.'s jerking off in front of your girlfriend, that's in the past.
All the Kevin Spacey cat movies.
That's done. That cat movie is in the past. Arguably the worst thing Kevin Spacey's ever done.
I don't think it's on planes anymore, so too late.
It's gone. All that's in the past. This is a new year. Time for a new you. Time to finally ask that girl out. Ask that guy out.
Yeah, dude.
Put together that resume. Go for that dream job.
Wow.
It's time.
This is better than I thought it would be.
It's time to sit courtside at a basketball game. It's time to jump into a ball pit. Yeah, who cares if there might be other kids in there? You're an adult. You can do what you want. Establish dominance. Jump in the ball pit. Go out and see a dwarf do stand-up.
Dude, jump in the ball pit is a fucking metaphor for 2018.
Jump in the ball pit of life.
There's always a reason not to do something.
Sure.
There's too many kids.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm not supposed to bring cheeseburgers in.
It might have herpes in the pit.
It might have herpes in the pool pit. I'm allergic to the blue balls.
Yes. Lord knows I am. But that's not a reason that you can't still have fun. You can't jump in that ball pit of life and enjoy yourself, ladies and gentlemen. ALN podcast listeners, get your ALN podcast merchandise.
Yeah, that's how you can really have fun.
Get the beanie, get the sweats, get the shirts, come see our live shows, and jump in the ball pit of life. Make your 2018 be the best year of
Brad,
your life.
Put your pants on.
I can take my pants off if I want to. I'm inspired, and by inspired, I mean horny. I'll be right back.
Get out, everybody.
So, that's the show. Fucking dude.
listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast, give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.